Hello and welcome to episode 179 of the Bronx Beat Podcast, presented by Baseball Prospectus. I'm your host, EJ Fagan. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Paul Semendinger.
Hey, EJ, how are you?
Paul, I am bored. Baseball needs to get going. Since we last recorded this episode, I don't think any news has actually happened.
The Yankees signed Manny Machado, Bryce Harper, Cy Young, and Mickey Mantle came back.
And Mickey Mantle might be better than Jacoby Ellsbury at this point.
Well, he is, but that's a whole nother story.
So we decided we're gonna talk about some kind of unconventional stuff at the moment, but just want to plug a few things. In fact, Paul, this is probably a good chance for you to plug your stuff, which I always forget to ask you to do. My politics podcast about the policy agenda, we put out our fourth episode recently. It's really good. It's called The Policy Agenda. We interviewed a scholar from the University of Maryland to talk about her book, Poor Representation. It's really a wonderful book. I highly recommend that. I'm also writing at The Dynasty Guru about fantasy baseball. So if you're interested in that, go to The Dynasty Guru. And I got those Baseball Prospectus articles coming out. So if you want the best darn transaction analyses on the internet, go read my columns at Baseball Prospectus. Paul, what do you want to plug?
Well, one of the very best Yankee blogs is startspreadingthenews.blog. That is, EJ, that used to be the It's About the Money website, and then we've rebranded it a whole year and a half ago, and we're getting thousands of people every day coming on in, and I think the writing is top-notch. The comments are great, and if you haven't seen Start Spreading the News, there's brand new content every single day, and it's compelling, and it's great.
Yeah, I'm impressed by what you've managed to do there. I gave up all hope of blogging a while back, and you've really reinvigorated that blog. So that's it's definitely something everybody should check out. And in fact, all of our old archives are on there. So if you really want to see what I wrote 7 years ago, you can do that.
That is correct. We have all the It's About the Money archives, and it's good stuff.
All right. So Yes Network, we're going to talk about today. The kind of the news hook that we have here is that Al Leiter will not be coming back as a commentator for the Yes Network. Similarly, Ken Singleton will be really dramatically pushing back the number of games that he does. He'll be doing, I think, only 25 games next year, where Al Leiter was, the plan was for him to kind of take some of those games from Singleton, but his son is about to enter the MLB draft and is apparently pretty good, and so he wants to spend some more time focusing on that. So good for Al Leiter. I always liked Al Leiter as a commentator, and the Yankees will have to replace him. So it's kind of our chance to talk about the Yes Network, about the TV broadcast altogether. I have a New York Post article I'm reading from right now that says the breakdown right now will be Michael Kay doing most of the play-by-plays, with Ryan Rocco doing some series. Bob Lorenz, Jack Curry, they're going to do all that studio stuff that I don't get to see because I'm watching on MLB.com stuff. And then David Cohn will do about half the games. John Flaherty will do about half the games. Paul O'Neill will do about 60 games, and Ken Singleton will do about 25. So I guess the first question I want to ask you, Paul, is, Yes Network, do you like the broadcast?
I think the broadcasts are very good. I don't think they're great, but I think they're very good.
Yeah, you know, I end up having to watch a decent number of road broadcasts because I have that MLB.com subscription, and particularly whenever they're in Texas, I have to watch either the Rangers or the Astros podcasts, and those podcasts are horrible. They are, I mean, I can barely get the Astros podcast sometimes because sometimes it gets blacked out, but even when it's not blacked out, like, they'll do things like while the game is on, they'll just send somebody up into the stands to interview, like, the guy who owns a car dealership down the road. Just the kind of stuff you just don't care about watching a baseball broadcast. You want to watch baseball. And I find that Yes is very baseball oriented. And I'm always very, very happy with kind of the focus that they have on that sport, and not on kind of the local part of the game, which the Yankees, being a pseudo national team, don't really have to serve that localism.
I would agree with that. And from anyone who's ever reported, who has experience watching and listening to other teams' broadcasts, they say that the Yankees' broadcasts are far superior. So yeah, they definitely have that going for them.
They still pretty much win the Emmy every year, right? There's like a sports broadcast Emmy, and it's just they just give it to the Yes Network. So what do you think about Michael Kay? Do you like him as a play-by-play guy?
I like Michael Kay. I think Michael Kay is good. I think there are times when he feels very rehearsed. Like if something's coming up or he thinks something's going to happen, I'm not saying he does this. I'm saying there are times when it feels like he writes down, well, when this happens 3 weeks from next week or whatever, I know exactly what I'm going to say because that's the voice that's going to be recorded forever. Again, I don't think he really does that. I would have no way of knowing if he does. I'm just saying there are times when that happens. And the other thing that drives me crazy sometimes is when he just gets silly. And, you know, they talk about how big his head is and things like that. And that's when I start saying, you know, this is the kind of stuff I don't really have any interest in. Just let's focus on the ball game.
I agree. I mean, I'm generally with you that I don't want the play-by-play person to become a character in the game. And I think occasionally Michael Kay does that. I think we're going to talk about some of his sidekicks that become a character a little bit more than Michael Kay. I think when he's calling the game, I think he's really good. I mean, I really do enjoy his play-by-play. I've always been a little surprised that he doesn't get more national coverage. He doesn't end up calling like you know, the third-string ESPN game or third-string Fox game like you see some local commentators do. Because I really do think he's pretty good that way. I think he is best when interviewing two other co-hosts next to him. And he's really good about asking somebody like the right question at a given time to kind of bring up an interesting point.
I agree with that. Now, I loved Michael Kay when he was the sidekick of John Sterling, and that's a whole different topic and a whole different episode maybe. But boy, when those two guys did radio together, that was a phenomenal tandem.
Yeah, you know, that was a long time ago.
It was.
I don't ever remember actually listening to one of those radio games. I remember Sterling before Susan Waldman. I think it was just him solo. But I don't remember him and Michael Kay. Michael Kay gets a lot of flack. I see him get a lot of flack on, at least on Twitter. And I don't really understand it. I mean, there are some better play-by-play guys out there, but they're generally doing national games. Like the local guys aren't as good. I think he's pretty good for that. And he's just good at the broadcast in general at you know, shepherding the broadcast kind of to and from where it needs to go. Let's talk about his co-hosts. So I want you to rank right now your favorite people in the game, like to appear next to Michael Kay during the game. So your choices are David Cone, John Flaherty, Paul O'Neill, Ken Singleton. Which of those is your favorite person to have next to Michael Kay?
Wow. Can it be a three-way tie? You'll say no.
Nope. You got to choose.
Yeah. Well, I think let's just say Ken Singleton's winding down. I think Ken Singleton's done a great job, but
I love Singleton. Yeah, I really do enjoy listening to him.
I'm not going to go with him because I'm looking for a guy who's going to really be there all season. I'm going to go with John Flaherty.
Really?
I like him a lot.
Oh God, he's so boring.
I find
that Flaherty speaks in cliches. And like he speaks like he's a manager giving a press conference, and he's not as bad when he's doing play by play. Like I actually kind of like it when he subs in for Michael Kay as a play by play guy, but I don't know. I just find him boring. He's my second to last.
All right. Well, I think we'll agree then that David Cone is very good.
I love David Cone. He's my favorite. I mean, look, I don't want to talk too much about sabermetrics and that kind of stuff on a broadcast. David Cone is one of the best at introducing modern-day statistics and baseball analysis into a baseball broadcast. And the Yes team is, for the most part, pretty good when Cone's not around at not, like, saying something stupid. Like, John Sterling will now just say dumb things. Like, John Sterling and Susan Waldman will say things that are just wrong, about given everything we know about baseball now. The Yes Network, I think, is pretty good at like shutting its hosts up about dumb things. But that doesn't mean that they'll say the smart thing. But David Cone will come up here and he'll quote a Fangraphs post from yesterday, or he'll bring up statistics like WAR or other things and explain them on air for people who are a little less initiated. And there's just very, very few commentators who will do that during a game. I mean, these days you have to put on a special broadcast like alongside, you know, or StatCast does a broadcast alongside the main broadcast to get that level of talk.
And David Cone does it. I think Cone's excellent, and I agree with everything you're saying. And he brings the advanced metrics in a way that's not threatening and scary for the listener. They go, oh, okay, that makes sense. And he has a, it's rare that to find somebody that can do that. So yeah, he gets a lot of props.
So my ranking, Singleton we know is on his way out, but I'll say Cohn, Singleton, Flaherty. And do we both agree that Paul O'Neill's the worst?
Which really pains me because, you know, as a ball player, I love Paul O'Neill. As an announcer, I just don't. I think he gets silly. And then I think when he and Michael Kay are together, they make each other silly. And then it just detracts from the game. And that's when I start to go, now what am I going to do?
I really enjoyed it.
No sound, you know, it gets frustrating.
When they first brought him on, I really enjoyed having Paul O'Neill on the broadcast because, like, you know, he was only on for 5 or 10 games a year, and he would be a little silly and he'd be a little bit of a change of pace. And I remembered how much I loved Paul O'Neill when I was a kid, and that was it. That was the broadcast. But Paul O'Neill now, when you put him out there game after game after game, and he's telling the same stories and they're showing the same clip of him beating up a water cooler and the same clip of him kicking a ball in the outfield. You know, like it gets tedious, and some of those little memories lose their magic, and I think that's the harm of a player of having somebody in the booth whose primary purpose is nostalgia, which I think is what he's in the booth to do. I don't really. He talks about a lot of non-baseball stuff when he's up there. He talks about golf all the time. You know, he talks about sandwiches and just kind of stuff that I don't need to listen to a baseball commentator talk about more than 5 games a year.
You know, there was a time, you're too young, when the Yankees had Bill White and Phil Rizzuto and Frank Messer, and it was those three guys, and they would share the TV and the radio. They would cycle between the two spots for years. And, you know, Rizzuto did a lot of that, but I don't know, maybe because I was little it was different, but it didn't seem to grate on, at least me, the way it sort of does nowadays. That was part of Rizzuto's shtick, and that was just who he was. But
he had a shtick. Like he was, although he was a professional baseball player, like Rizzuto was a play by play guy who, like, he knew what he was doing.
Yes.
It's also a little bit of the naivete of like our pre Moneyball baseball, where you could kind of sit there and say things off the seat of your pants and get away with it. Where you just can't do it anymore because we know more than we used to.
That is correct. One thing I think the Yankee broadcast misses, and I don't even know how to articulate this, really. There's a couple guys on the Mets radio and who just have that great baseball announcing voice.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, John Sterling has it. It's just like, yes, that sounds like baseball. And boy, oh boy, there's nobody in the Yankee booth. I think Flaherty sometimes.
Yeah, he's pretty close. He's got a little bit of it.
No, that's why I rank him number one.
I mean, Singleton has it too.
He's got a more of a mellow voice. Yeah. What's his name out there in L.A. who retired? The most famous guy.
Oh my God! Come on. We're doing this live, and I have to. Vince
Scully.
Why is my brain not working tonight? Yes, go for it, Vince Scully. Scully. He only called Jackie Robinson's final, one of Jackie Robinson's games.
You know, correct.
No big deal.
But yeah, Ken Singleton sort of is that, you know, that's laid back, you know, that old fashioned approach too, which is great. But Flaherty and John Sterling and the guy with the Mets, you know, that deep Yankee baseball voice, and that's just, I wish the Yankees had
Jim
that
Brockmire
well.
Voice from Hank Azaria's TV show.
Yes.
I'm with you there. You know, I think, but you know, all said, this team doesn't do poorly. And I like that the Yankees have this rotating cast of commentators as opposed to the same guy day after day. Because, I mean, even the rotating cast, their stories get old and you realize Michael Kay's ticks and you could build drinking games around Michael Kay, you know, talking about, you know, the runner going after a 3-2 count. You know. I think it's a pretty good team and I like their format. I think they need to replace Al Leiter with somebody. I have a couple of specific people kind of in my head, but when you're thinking about replacing Al Leiter, what kind of person, like what criteria do you want in somebody to announce a whole bunch of Yankee games?
I think I'm looking for someone who's knowledgeable. I would want somebody who could, again, like David Cohn, talk about the advanced metrics without boring us. But boy, oh boy, I would do some type of a test in the booth. I also want the voice, and I don't know who that is.
See, I think the answer to that is that it's not a former player. I think I'm perfectly happy. You talked about that Sterling K interview, going out and getting somebody who's a professional baseball, like play-by-play or color person. There's no reason that it has to be somebody who played for the Yankees. Doesn't have to play for the Yankees. Excuse me. It doesn't have to be somebody who played, you know, baseball particularly well. I mean, there's lots of people out there doing games who I think have that ability and would be a lot of fun to listen to.
I agree with you. I think sometimes in sports they get too involved in it has to be a former player. And, yeah, the Yankees have the former players. They have enough of them. So let's get somebody in there who can also add some different type of color and different type of perspective and different type of knowledge to the game.
I think that one of ESPN's best moves has been hiring Jessica Mendoza. Now, she was a former player, softball player, but not somebody that you knew, at least I knew a thing about before ESPN hired her. And she's just been excellent because she's good at analyzing baseball. Like that's the primary job there. She doesn't have to go out and hit a home run in batting practice because that's not her job anymore, right? Her job is to talk about baseball, and she knows how to do it. And rarely you'll get the former player who's good at that. And maybe there's some former player lurking around who's like in New York and would like to do 30 games. But I don't know who that is. That former player who's good at talking about baseball. I thought A-Rod was going to be that guy, but he was so good that he's now a national baseball commentator everywhere, and there's really no hope of getting him on the YES Network. Are there any former Yankees that you think would be good at this? Let's say they restrict themselves to relatively recent former Yankees players. If you had to pick one, who would be the guy who could do it?
Wow, that's a great question. I thought you were going to go in a different direction before that. The YES Network used to have Kim Jones, who...
She was great. Yeah.
Yeah, she's great. So, and she did a bunch of games, or at least she filled in sometimes. And I think she filled in with John Sterling on the radio when Susan Waldman took ill at some point or missed a couple games. And she was phenomenal. So I'd love to see her in the booth. Thinking about a Yankee... who would be a great announcer, a recent Yankee. You know, but this would be silly again. You know who...
Give me a silly pick.
Yeah,
I'm good with silly picks.
Mark Teixeira.
He's good.
Yeah,
he's good.
Yeah. He did that whole foul pole thing with the silly... pretending to be an announcer, and he would interview bases, and he would interview silly players and stuff. But he actually has some talent. He's good, and he talks well.
I think he did some, I think, TBS games, if I remember correctly, last year. So he has like a little bit of that under his belt. But yeah, I think that's not a bad option. I mean, I have no idea where he lives. If he lives in New York, you know, you might be able to convince him to come. I'm totally with you there. I've thought about Jorge Posada. Like, Jorge Posada to me has always been entertaining to listen to talk. I think he'd be fun. I think Mike Mussina would be a blast. I would love to see Mike Mussina in the booth. I don't think he would do it, but I think Mike Mussina would be just absolutely wonderful.
Well, he's brilliant, but I think he and Michael Kay don't get along. Am I correct about that?
Was that there must have been? I remember there was like a thing at some point about the two of them.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. They never and you know what? To Michael Kay's credit, he would say something like, yeah, something's not right, or he would allude to it, but he would never say what the problem was, and I give him a lot of credit for that.
Oh, interesting. I had forgotten about that until the second he said it. I also think I would – this is my fantasy pick, CC Sabathia. Just bring him up there in between games. Like, he can pitch once a week and commentate two or three times a week, and it'd be great. Put him up there with Ryan Ruocco. They'll just do their podcast from the booth. It'd be amazing.
I think they have to watch out, though. I think there's a lot of swearing on those podcasts.
Yeah,
they have to remember they're on the air.
It's all right. The FCC doesn't cover cable TV. All right, so a couple of other things. You know, with Singleton gone... Or as Singleton heads out the door, they will have an all-white broadcast. I think they should probably think a little bit about finding somebody who's not white to do this. Again, I think I'd love to have somebody I'd love to have a woman on the podcast. And I think those alternative voices really add something that you could have there. And if they want to attract young fans, they should probably not be all old white guys. I wonder if Bob Costas is available. It might be beneath him. It probably is beneath him. But Bob Costas is my favorite baseball guy, period.
Well, he's got the great voice, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of my other option right on there. I always wondered why these teams like some of the YES Network doesn't get a little more creative as well, or maybe they bring in ten different color commentators throughout the year. It can't be that hard to not screw up while like Michael Kay is there directing you.
Well, you know what? I'll give you two great ideas that I've always had.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, which would save them a lot of money, I would love them to just have some microphones or a microphone in the stands, and for them to be a game every now and again where it's just you hear the stadium and you're as if you're there. That would be pretty fun.
Yeah, yeah, little unconventional things like that I love. Like I love the idea of the StatCast podcast that MLB did during the playoffs last year. Just ideas like that. We now have the digital means to do that, and it doesn't cost them anything to put a microphone in the stands. Even if I had the option on MLB TV to just turn off all the non-ambient noise, I think that'd be really cool. So that's yeah. I think you have the option these days to overlay the radio broadcast, but I'm not actually sure about that.
If you can, I've never seen that. That was actually my other idea. I would love to see them have the ability, and there's the technology's got to be there, where when you go onto a game, you can get the TV guys, or you go to a different channel and you get the radio guys, and then you go to a different channel and you get the away team or the opposite team's TV guys and the opposite team's radio guys, and then just the stadium. And then you could sort of bounce between them all, and you could hear how different announcers call different plays. That would actually be pretty fun.
Okay, so we've gone through some of the good and bad hosts and some other little things about the broadcast. We're at about 22 minutes. So let me just ask you one last quick question. So let's say you had a wish list, and you could wish for one thing that they would do on the broadcast. What would that wish list be, besides the kind of the little stuff we talked about?
All right, I think the greatest idea they could have would be to call me up and have me do a whole bunch of games. Because
our podcast is available if they would like. I will do it for free.
I will do it for free as well. Yeah. And I don't even. I'm here. You're in Texas, so you got to. You'd have to worry about flying. And we could do the Ranger games.
I'll figure it out. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. We'll do the Ranger games. If there's any space on public access radio, I'll put the podcast up there too. I'd be happy to do that. But your wish list.
Boy, you catch me sometimes here. I don't know if I have a wish list. They always talk about speeding up the game. So my wish list for speeding up the game would be to have the companies pay more per commercial to have fewer commercials in between innings.
That'd be wonderful. I have another one for you. How about this? None of those stupid little mid-inning commercials. Now a quick word from Verizon.
Those
are so annoying. Oh, my God. And the thing is that they – I don't know how much Verizon is paying the YES Network for a 5-second spot like in between pitches, but it can't be that much. And you're really hurting the experience just for a minimal amount of money. I get it. Like there's always going to be like weird ad reads and things all like that, you know, during the game. And, you know, we complained a few months ago about some of the advertisers that they were working with, but whatever, like, I get it. Like that's how they're going to sell me stuff on the game, even if I'm paying them quite a lot of money for my subscription. But that's just not like the mid-inning stuff is just not necessary. And I hope it's not kind of a signal of what's to come. They'll keep packing more and more in there. I'd like a StatCast segment or some kind of like recurring really much more advanced statistics, more than David Cone just kind of talking about it. I think it's a good opportunity to both to do something kind of cool with all the data that we have and that kind of thing. And also to educate the audience a little bit in a way that would be, I think, really, really helpful. The thing about statistics that Moneyball used to say, I think this was a line from the beginning of Moneyball, is that statistics provide you a language to describe the game. And we have ways of describing the game that sometimes work on the broadcast, but there's some things that you just can't say anything about. You can say, like, he's really fast. And that's it. That's all you can say. You can't say he's the third fastest center fielder the Yankees have ever had, or that Brett Gardner has gained a mile per hour or a mile per whatever, a meter per second, or whatever the measurement is, over his pace last year. And to me, that kind of information belongs in a broadcast and would be better for even just the layperson who's not trying to like analyze a game statistically.
You know, along that same line is one of the great things about baseball is that every stadium is different. And, you know, they're less different nowadays, I think, than they used to be, at least in some ways. Yankee Stadium doesn't have the deep Death Valley as it used to or whatever. But I've always wondered if, and this would be very simple as well, it would be fun to watch, is when a guy hits a home run that just goes over the wall, or when he flies out in a ballpark into the deepest parts and it's an out rather than being a home run, if they could put a little overlay. So,
oh, yeah. Come on.
You know, like, this is a home run in Yankee Stadium, but you know what? It would have been a fly out in Fenway Park if the Yankees were on the road against the Red Sox. Or that's actually a home run in Fenway because it was right down the right field line, right by the pesky pole. And I think that adds a whole different dimension to the game that just goes, oh, wow, if the Yankees were playing on the road right there, they'd just have a 3-0 lead instead of it just being a flyout. So that would be kind of fun to see.
I mean, wouldn't that be a cool like little like replay where, you know, someone catches a ball in deep right center or deep left center, and, you know, they're catching it. They're kind of like on the warning track, but they're not exactly at the wall. And they go, let's show this replay. Here's the line of, you know, Fenway Park's center field fence or whatever. That to me would be really interesting. And again, it would add something to the game that you couldn't do. You can't do just by a commentator saying, like, I don't know if that would be out in Fenway Park or something like that.
Correct. Cause you would be able to put it right on. It's just a measurement.
Yeah. And it's easily understandable. Like, you don't have to solve an equation to get that answer.
Correct.
You can just put it right on the screen. I'm with you there. I think it's a cool idea.
And it makes baseball different than the other sports, because every other sport has defined definitions of what the playing field looks like and when a ball is in or when the ball is out or whatever.
It's got to be doable. Video games do it. I mean, let me also add one thing. At some point, I think baseball broadcasts in general need to think about how to visualize the infield shift, because there's a lot going on in terms of defensive placement that's now strategic and interesting in its own way, and we can't really see it. Like, sometimes they'll cut away to a shift before a pitch, but things change, and that really just it destroys your mental model of what's going on in the baseball field, right? So you see a guy hit a ground ball towards second, and you're mentally, you go, oh, I've seen that a million times. That's a hit. That's going through to the outfield, or that's going to be a close play, and it's not. Or alternatively, you see a guy hit a ball kind of where the shortstop is supposed to be, but the shortstop isn't where the shortstop normally is, and it ends up being a hit. And there's no way to see that with just kind of the standard screen that they have where the camera behind the pitcher looking at the batter. And then they cut away to a wider shot. I wonder if there's a way to do like a split screen or like a little box in a corner or something like that just to help us out there a little bit.
I think you could do that easily. As you were saying that, I was picturing just in the upper right hand corner of the screen a little picture of the diamond with dots indicating where the players are.
And that's all you would need. Like, it doesn't have to be obtrusive. Right, it doesn't have to be distracting. Doesn't need to have like lightning graphics or anything like that. Like, I would love that. That's exactly what I would love. Dots on a diamond, and that's it.
And that's where you know where they are, because you're right. The thing about the shift, and I am against making any rules against it, because I think baseball and every sport needs to adapt. That was an adaptation, and now the batters have to learn how to not hit into the shift and to do something different. And you can't just go, well, that's bad this year, so we're going to legislate against it. And then
I'm pro-legislating against it, but that's a whole other discussion.
I don't think we need to do that. Let baseball be baseball. Let the game evolve. Let players learn how to do that. But you're right. You see a ground ball going up the middle, and you say, oh, base hit. But that the shortstop's there, the second baseman's there where he normally wouldn't have been 5, 6, 10 years ago. And then the guy's
out. Some teams are being really aggressive with how they shift players around. And I'd like to know that strategically. Like, I'd like to know, like, are the Astros are playing, you know, are playing whatever, Miguel Andujar really far in. Like, why is that? Like, you know, to me that would be.
Correct. And you can solve all that with a little graphic.
Yeah. And the baseball broadcast is never really on their toes enough to do it. Like, sometimes they'll do it, but not all that often, especially now that the shift is routine. Because it used to be when Jason Giambi would get up there and they'd be like, oh, look, the shift. Everybody, look, it's a shift. But now it happens every other batter, so they can't do that.
Correct. But to draw the comparison to football is they do do that in football. They do tell you, like, look, the lineup is a little bit different. The way they're setting up is a little bit different. And it gives you the mental framework as the play is starting to evolve as to the fact that they're setting up differently than they might have on the previous play. So baseball should embrace that.
And I hope they do. Paul, thank you very much for joining me. This has been a 30-minute podcast talking about the TV broadcast, and I did not expect that, but I think it was actually pretty good. We will be back next week. We're looking for ideas for baseball. If you have an idea for a topic that we should discuss, tweet us at BronxBeatBP, and we will answer that on the show. We'll probably do a mailbag episode in one of the next couple of episodes, and that's the best way to do it, at BronxBeatBP. And I will collect all of those questions, and we will answer them. Otherwise, we have some kind of fun alternative stuff that we'd like to talk about as the season gets closer. Thank you for joining me, Paul. Everybody, thank you for listening. This has been your Bronx Beat Podcast.